get to see Him. And what a day that's going to be when we see Jesus face to face. And just can't wait. Can't wait to go. Just really can't wait to go. Thanks, honey. Where'd she go to, Miss Sharon? She had to go smoke a cigarette. I'm sorry. All right, shut stuff up. I'm just kidding. All right, just kidding. Miss Sharon had to go do that early. That was her thing. We went by tobacco fields today. I said, I'm not going to say anything about the bourbon. We talked about bourbon yesterday, marijuana, but today is tobacco day. And she, pray for her, please. She needs some help. And praying for her. She's kind of like my granddaddy had a friend, an older lady, very old, just back years ago. He had a friend that used to, and this lady friend would dip snuff. I don't know if you folks know what snuff is, but she'd dip snuff. So y'all pray for Miss Sharon. She's trying to get over that, and Lord help her get over that stuff, that snuff. And she's working on it. And Brother Stanley, thank you. Thank you for letting us come and spend these days with you. It's been refreshing for me and my wife, and Ms. Stanley, thank you as well for the hospitality, and just I know she's been teaching and trying to keep up with us and all this going on. She's been busy as well. It's been a good time. It really has. I have really, really been blessed myself. I've been helped, and every time I just talk about marriage and all that kind of stuff, it just really, really helps me. And so I've been refreshed. I'll do a little bit different tonight. I'm going to have to talk and try to do so much. We've only got 3 days, so there's so much that I felt like we needed to get in. But one of the things I want to challenge Lighthouse Baptist Church with, all you folks that this is your church home, I want to challenge you to keep going forward. Just keep going forward. Don't let your church go backwards. There's so many churches that are going the wrong direction. A couple of things. Number one, some are going in the wrong direction in their conviction, the Word of God, and we would say they're going more liberal. Don't go that direction. Stay where you are. Stay where you are. Don't go left. But you don't want to go back either. You don't want a church to start going back, because you've seen them like I have, haven't you? Churches all over the country, they're just drying up, just dying on the vine. They're just drying up. You don't want your church to do that, do you? I mean, you want your church to go forward. You want it to thrive. You want it to do something for God. You say, well, I don't know. We have a small community here, and let's just ask the Lord to keep our, and here's what we like to say sometimes. Let's keep our little church, and let's just try to hold it together. And I understand that thought, just holding your church together. And Lord, just help us to hold it together. But why don't we ask God to help us to grow it together? Not just hold it together, but let's grow it together. And let's see God do something in a great way. This is very, very similar as far as your area, geography. Very similar to where Ailey, Georgia is. I don't think any of you have ever heard of Ailey that's told me. And some of you have heard of Idalia. But if you were to take our little town, in our town of about 450, in our little county of about 9,000 people, that's our county, so it's a little small area. You go next door to us, which is almost like going about 20 minutes up towards Shelbyville. There's a city there. It's got about 10,000 people there, so it's very similar. And so here's what we've done in our church, and I just want to try to maybe encourage you in this way to think. You folks have great facilities. You've got a great spirit. You've got a great foundation. And you've already got a lot that we didn't have, because we started with nothing. We just had two people when I came to that building, storefront building. We had two people. That's all we had. We had no money. We had no property. We had nothing when I first came to that church, just getting started. With just those two, they were just two folks. That's it. And so we had nothing. And you folks have a lot. You're way ahead of where we were at this stage of ministry. Way ahead. Way ahead. But the geography is, Brother Steve, is really similar. You guys, you have so much that's like our area. Farming, good country folks, kindness, hospitality. And I've met folks here from Pennsylvania, New Jersey, I believe, New Yorkers. And I don't know if there's any Kentuckians around here or not, but I met some of them from all over. Yeah, we got one or two right here. Got them from all over. Got some Floridians that showed up. And anyway, just all of you. You got good hospitality. You got a good foundation. You got a good future ahead of you. So I'm just asking you. Where do you want Lighthouse Baptist Church to be 5 and 10 years from now? Do you want it to keep growing and going? So here's a few thoughts I want to give you. And our church is, now listen, our church is not perfect, but our church has been blessed. blessed greatly in a lot of ways. Buildings, facilities, property, and people. We have that stuff. But that's now listen, we're just serving the Lord. No matter what God gives us, we're grateful for it. But I want to challenge Lighthouse Baptist. Don't lose your vision for these farmers and these folks who are moving in from out of state and for these people who have been here forever and these unchurched. Don't lose your vision for them. You need to keep a vision for your community because there's some Bryans and Autumns that still need Jesus and somebody's got to go get them. Somebody's got to go tell them. And let's ask God to help us to grow and to go. I don't know. When you start with nothing, and I believe God can do. You started with nothing years ago, 20 plus years ago, whatever long it's been. You started with, but you know God can do great things in this church. Let's let Him keep doing great things in this church. But let's let Him do greater things than He's ever done before. I mean, just get behind your preacher. I believe your preacher has vision. I believe he's got a heart. I think he's got desire. He's got a burning. I mean, they left everything from Florida and came up here. So let's do something for the Lord. Just jump on board with them and say, let's do something for the Lord. So what do you do? Yeah, I think two things. You want to pray. You got to pray. But also you got to go. You got to pray and you got to go. We got to go to the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, right? We got to compel them to come to the house of God. So just be found faithful. Here, Lee Robertson, your preacher's probably told you this. Lee Robertson said three things. He said it takes three to thrive. What were those? Three to thrive. Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Three to thrive. Don't you want to thrive? Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. He preached that all the time. So, am I right, Brother Jimmy? Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, all the time. Three to thrive. All right, Dr. Clarence Sexton, he gave us three things. And I'll just give you some things that I've learned. He said three things. Every individual needs a heavenly home. Some of you heard this before. Needs a heavenly home. Every individual needs a heavenly home. Every individual needs a church home. All of you need a church home. If Lighthouse, you don't have a church home, Lighthouse ought to be your church home. Thirdly, the third thing, not only do we need a heavenly home, not only do we need a church home. Does anybody else know the third one? We need a what? Christian home. Every individual needs a Christian home. So you need, remember that. Every individual needs a heavenly home. Every individual needs to be saved. They need to have a church home where they worship the Lord, and they need a Christian home that they go to and live day in and day out. Those are the three things all of us need, right? We need those three things. I gave you a few things over the course of the last couple of nights. Brother Steve, so kind. We've been talking about food for the whole week, so he brought me some purple whole peas tonight. And I was trying to decide what this stuff is on the top. Now you say that might just be water, but that's not just water. But it's not bourbon now. It's not bourbon, is it? Now, we're not. You didn't load me up, did you, Brother Steve? He's not saying. I don't know, Brother Stan. He's not saying a word back there. All right, got some purple whole peas, and I appreciate. You know what? That's somebody took some time, somebody invested, somebody gave what they had put. They gave this, put into themselves into this, and said, "I want you to have it." Let me tell you something. That's a lot like the Christian life, isn't it? God's invested in us. God's given His time. And it's time for us to go say, here, let me show you what God's done for me. Let me give you. Let me try to give to you what God's given to me, invested in me. And I hope that you'll do that in your community. Go tell somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ, what Christ has done for you. Somebody invested. Somebody loved you. Somebody gave. And you go invest in someone else and help them as well. All right? Thank you, Brother Steve, for the goodies, by the way. I appreciate that. That was good. All right, let's get our Bibles, Ecclesiastes chapter number 9. Just a little review, and tonight I've got so much. A lot of it's just going to be kind of pulling everything back together because repetition is the key to learning. Repetition is we got to just keep on and on and on, learning over and over and over again. So that's what we keep doing. And I gave you a few things that I want you to kind of remember. God is the originator of marriage. Is that right? God is the originator. He is the founder. He's the one who set it up, gave us the instruction book. He is the originator. Marriage is between two people. All right? Male, and what's the other half of that marriage? Male and what? All right, so we learned something. I hope, now maybe, I know all of you knew that already, but it's between a male, a man, and a woman. All right? That's why God set that up. That is God's plan. He's the originator. He said, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, shall cleave unto his wife, and they're going to become how many? One plus one equals how many in God's economy? One plus one equals one. All right, we became one. We're attached. We've been put together, joined together. And we've been attached. You know, they said that a man told his wife, he said, you know, women speak 30,000 words a day. Oh, that's pretty amazing. Did you know this, ladies? That women, that's what they said. And men speak 15,000 words a day. Did you know that, Brother Derek? I didn't either. That's 15,000 words a day. And the man was saying this to his wife, and he said, honey, did you know that? And she said, yes. He said, the reason that is because every time we say something to our husband, he doesn't listen. We have to repeat it twice. And the husband said, what'd you say? What'd you say? Have to repeat it twice. Ladies, you ever felt that way before? God is the originator. Man and woman come together, tied together, attached together. God put us together. Hey, we've got to thank God for the marriage that He's given us. All right? So those of you that are married, let me give this to you. I'll read this text tonight. We live joyfully with the wife of our youth. So how should we live, church? We live how? Joyfully, right? Let's say that together. We live how? Joyfully. That means we have some joy. It ought to be something that's joyful about this thing called marriage. All right? And I said the statement, I said, we're not enduring to the end. We're supposed to be enjoying it till we get to the end. All right? Enjoying the journey along the way. It's a great, great journey. So we learned that we live joyfully with our wives and joyfully with the wife. Then we simply need to follow biblical instruction. Last night I talked about some of the roles. The husband is the head and wife is the heart and children are the hub. So those are three truths that we gave you. Husband being the head, wife being the heart. The children are the hub that make up that family if you have children. So that's the kind of the dynamics of a home. And I hope that you got that down. Husband is the head of the home. And then the wives are the heart of the home. And then you've got children are the hub of the home. Okay, those are three things you should remember as well. All right, we're learning all this. Have you learned something this week at all? Have you got anything in your heart and mind that you say, all right, I didn't know that before. Or maybe I knew it, but I've been refreshed a little bit this week. So the husbands is to love. Husbands are to love. And the wives verse, the second word was to submit. We're supposed to serve together. I gave you a little phrase. I said a family that prays together stays together. Let's say that again. A family that prays together. And I gave you some homework. I said, we need to start praying. Start praying before we go to bed. Just spend some time in prayer with our mates. Every night, just spend some time in prayer with them. Simply just have a prayer time with them. And a family that prays together stays together. And I hope you've got that down. All right? I believe this as well. Families need to get involved in ministry together. We need to be involved in ministry, church together. So serve together. I don't want the wife, she's always busy at the church. I want it to be, we're always busy at the church. Well, the husband's always got something going on at the church and he's always leaving me at the house. No, we want to serve together. We want to make sure we serve the Lord together. Also, we want to attend church together. We want to make sure we go to church together and be a part of the house of God. And then I gave you this. He said, we need to be filled with the Spirit of God every day. Remember, that's a great illustration. Thanks for that. We filled up. It's all filled up. Nothing else goes in the jar. Because we're filled up with the Spirit of God, all this stuff from sin and the world and things are trying to get in, as long as we're filled up with the Spirit of God, all that doesn't have a place in our life. Because we're walking in the Spirit of God. How do we do that? Every day of our lives. He said, well, we did that on Monday. We don't need it on Wednesday. No, the Spirit of God, every day, every day, every day. Brother Dan came in tonight and he walked around with a candy bag. He's a candy man, so he walked around with the candy. And as he went around with the candy, picking out, I said, I'll take this one that I took last night. And I pulled that strawberry out because that's one of my favorites. I pulled the strawberry out. And if he does this so often enough, what's he going to have to do? He's going to have to put some more in it. So let me tell you something. Just as all the earthly examples are, if we take out, you got to put back in. And the same thing is with the Spirit of God in our lives. I'm not that I'm losing the Spirit of God, but I must be filled with Him every day of my life. It has to be just, Lord, here I am, here I am, here I am, here I am, over and over and over again. All right? Let me give you some things. I didn't get to speak to the ladies a whole lot. So ladies, let me give you some things to write down tonight. If you want to take some notes with me, my wife does such a great job, I'm sure, speaking to the ladies. But I thought, I need to make sure that I give this to the ladies. Remember last night what I told her? I gave her some help last night, Brian. I said, if you'll pat him on the back, he'll work himself to death. If you'll just a compliment. Let me give the ladies just a few thoughts here, three of them. Number one, pray for your husband. Pray for your husband every day. Pray for him. How should you pray for him? Oh, Lord, I want to pray that you'll just whip him. I want to pray you straighten him out. No. How should you pray for your husband? I want to pray for him that God would allow him to be filled with the Spirit of God. Lord, I want you to help him to walk in the Spirit of God today. Lord, help him as he guides and leads our family. God bless him today. Just pray that the Lord, just pray a prayer over him every day. Lord, bless my husband today. Bless my man today. Bless him as he leads our home. Help him as he leads. Pray for that man. Just pray for him. Call his name up before the Lord every single day of your life. Now, this is a little sub point under here, but I want to say this to you. You need to pray for your children every day of your life. I haven't said anything about children really this week, but you need to pray for your children. The moment that my wife has ever said we're pregnant, she's pregnant, she's having a baby. We've had 7, 4 girls and 3 boys. So we've had this happen multiple times. And when she walks in and she's I'm pregnant. And the moment that she finds out she's pregnant, we always pray that our children will be saved. Always. Before they're ever birthed into this world. And I have prayed a prayer that maybe someone may be critical of, but I mean it with our heart. We prayed a prayer sincerely. Lord, if my children are not going to be saved, we'd rather you go ahead and take them than for them to grow up not knowing Jesus. And that's what I'm not being mean, but that means that much to me. That I want to be in heaven with my children. So I pray for them every day. I still do that every day. We pray for them. Lord, I want you to, Lord, please make sure my children are saved. I want my children to know you as their Savior. Number two, I pray that my children would serve Jesus Christ with their lives. Then number three, I pray that my children's mates will be saved. Whoever they're going to marry in the future, that they're saved, going to be serving the Lord, living for Jesus. I pray all that prayer for them every day. So don't you ever get tired of saying the same thing? Does Jesus ever turn a deaf ear to you? Does God ever say no? Don't want to hear that again? I don't think so. I think God wants to hear our prayer. So moms, pray for wives, pray for your husbands. Moms and dads, pray for your children. Three things you pray for them. Lord, I want my children to be saved. I want my children to serve you. And Lord, also, I want my children, whoever they're going to marry in the future, to be saved and serving you as well. Pray that every day. I believe God answers that prayer. So how do you know that, preacher? My oldest daughter, she's married to a preacher. God's answered that prayer. My oldest son's married to a good, godly girl, and they both attend our church. Very thankful for them. God's answered that prayer. My third daughter, she's in Bible college and she's studying music at Bible college and she's not married yet, but I'm just knowing and trusting that God is going to answer that prayer for us. I don't know the future. I'm not saying my children are perfect, but at least they can't say Dad didn't pray for them every day. So, hey, I encourage you to do the same as well. Number two, not only do you pray for your husband, ladies, I want you to just love on him. Love on him. Love on him just a little bit. He needs a little loving. These men need some loving. Men, you don't have to say amen right there, all right? That'd be a good spot. Men, you need a little loving every so often, don't you? I mean, yeah, thank you for saying it. Need a little bit. Hey, it wouldn't hurt every so often, every so often. Ladies, just when he walks in the door from a long day at work, he's been working outside or he's been cutting the grass or whatever he's been doing, just walk up to him and give him a big old kiss right on the lips. And then after he falls out on the floor, from shock, just pick him back up and do it all over again. All right? Just give him a big old kiss right on the lips. Just kiss him real good. So, oh, that's for those young people that I don't ever want to get too old that my wife can't give me a kiss. Somebody say amen right there, all right? Don't ever want to get too old. You folks aren't too old for that, are you? Come on, I enjoy it. But help me out, Brother Jimmy. All right, thank you. All right, there you go. 60 plus years of being married. I mean, they're still doing it. Right? Still, I love it. Just love on him. Just love on him. Every so often, you just got to be sweet to them. There's so many couples who are not kind to each other. And I'll talk about that a little bit. Number three, I hit on this a little bit last night. So pray for him. Love on him and respect him. And that's where let him know how much you appreciate him. Tell him how much you appreciate him. Every so often, you might just have to go in the bathroom and write on the mirror with your lipstick, "I love you." Let him know how much you appreciate it. Write him a little handheld note or a little handwritten note that just says, "Thank you for all you do for me. Thanks for providing for our family. Thank you for your hard work. Thank you for teaching our children," whatever he does. Say, "Thank you for what you do. Thank you for being a faithful husband." Write him a little thank you note occasionally for just what he does. Those are things that just kind of add a little extra. Just a little extra to the marriage God's given us. I'm just saying we just need a little extra sometimes. And we forget, because what happens is, when we've been married for quite a while, we start taking each other for granted. And we don't ever want to take each other for granted. And I'm looking at some of you, and I know some of you said 52 years or 49 years. And Brother Jimmy was 60, how many years? 62 years. I know it's been some of you have been a long, no? They're going to have an argument right here in church over how many years it was, all right? 60 years in church. Set him straight. Just tell him, 60 years. And a lot of you have been married a long time. Talking about Brother John said that wife passed away 3 years ago, I believe he said. I know that's a tender thing. But I'm just saying, you've been married a long time. And but you can start taking each other for granted. Because same person, same face, same place, same space. And you begin to take each other for granted. So you got to do something a little extra. Maybe, men, you have to stop by and pick up some flowers. Don't rob any from the church, but you might want to just get some flowers and say, "I want to give you a little something. I thought a box of candy, a candy bar." I'm just throwing ideas out to you, something that she might like and enjoy. You just thought about her. Coffee. I don't drink coffee. My wife loves coffee. But I'm just, maybe a little something you can do for her that's just a little extra. Something you can do for him, just a little extra. You say, "Well, we've done all that in the past." Well, let's don't quit doing what we've always done. And I'm just trying to give you some thoughts tonight. I'm trying to pull all this together and put some application to what we've been talking about over the last three nights. All right? So here we go. Let's take our Bibles, Ecclesiastes chapter number 9. And I just want to give you a challenge tonight with the last 12 or 15 minutes or so. I want to give you a challenge. And just it says, never stop. Don't stop. Never quit. Don't quit. Don't stop what you've been doing. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. And if you haven't been doing it, let's start doing it by the grace of God. Here's what the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, chapter number 9. Here's the verse I gave you the other day in passing, but I want to look at it as scripture. Ecclesiastes song. Here's what Solomon said. Solomon says, live, circle that word if you didn't the other day. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest, all the days of the life of thy vanity. Ecclesiastes 9:9. He says, you want to live with her joyfully. All the days that God gives you. Not just for the first year. That shouldn't be the joyful year. 10-year anniversary shouldn't be just the joyful year. The 15th, the 20th shouldn't be just joyful years. He says, all the days that God gives you, let's live joyfully. Let's make the most of it. Let's enjoy the wife that God's given us. Men, hey, let's put some joy back. Let's put some joy back into it. So here's how I give you some very, very practical application tonight. Number one, if you're writing these down, number one, never stop courting. Never stop courting. Never stop courting. Never stop dating. Never stop just going out. Going out. Hey, now, how many of you have a lot of children like we do? I guess you could say that's a lot of children. You've got... Brother Rod, you said you came from a family of 18. Is that right? That's amazing to me. 18 children. Could you imagine, honey, having 18 of them? That's amazing. And we have 7 of them. So any of you have 5 or more children? 5 or more? You had 5 or more children? Am I the only... All right. Anyway, so you may not get this illustration. All right. You may not understand where I am. But when you have 7 children like we do... They're always, but there, you may understand this. You've got 2, or you may understand a little bit about this because you homeschool and all, you get right? So you got all the kids are just there. And so when my wife and I were dating, when we were in college together, we had this place where we, at the college where we went to, it was called The Wall, and we would sit down on The Wall for an hour or two at a time. And we'd just sit and just talk, fellowship, how's school, how your classes, how is literature today? How is Bible today? And we'd just sit and talk about things. Just talk. And we'd just sit and talk. Well, you know how it is. You get married, you start working and you got jobs and you got then children and all this starts happening. It's hard to find an hour just to sit and chat. It's hard to find an hour just to sit and have a personal conversation without the baby crying, without the kids knocking on the door, without somebody, Mama, Daddy. I mean, it's kind of, when you got seven children, it's kind of hard to have that one. So we had to find ways. We had to find ways to keep dating, to keep courting. So we made, I don't know if you want to call it, it's not a rule, but we kind of made a policy at our home that we're going to have a date night, date time, date lunch, date something every week of our lives. We're going to go out and do something together, just the two of us. We decided that years ago. Now, has it been every week? It's been most weeks, but not every, because then sometimes things come up. But just about without fail, we're going to find a way that my wife and I sit down and have a lunch or have a supper or do something together. And we just tell the kids, now when the doors locked, don't bother us. When we were a little bit younger, we didn't have a lot of money. We don't have a lot of money now, but when we didn't have money to go out to eat because things were tight, we'd just simply say, now we're going to go fix a meal and we're going to take it upstairs. We're locking the door. And don't bother now. We're going to have a little date for about an hour, just the two of us. It's kind of harder when you get a little one, I understand. We would say we got it, and tell the kids, don't bother us. We want to just keep courting. Now we've got three of our children that are kind of grown and going out of the house. It's a little bit easier. The older ones can keep the younger ones for us, and I understand it's a little easier. But still, all of you folks who are tired and got all the kids out of the house, you better keep dating. You better keep courting. You better keep being sweet to one another. And those of you that have the children still at home, you better find time to spend for one another. Because all of the senior adults can say this, there's going to come a time where the kids get grown and gone, right? And if your marriage is built on those kids, when the kids are grown and gone, your marriage kind of falls apart, doesn't it? Because you really don't know what to do with yourself. So keep the main thing the main thing. Husband's the head, the wife's the heart, children are the hub. These children come along, God bless you, we're grateful, we raise them up, train them up, bring them up, and they're dead. And when they're, I was going to say when they're dead and gone, but that doesn't work, all right? But anyway, when they're gone, and we just let them go, and we love them, and they get to see us, and they get to come over, spend time with us. But, you know, they've got their own families, and they're doing their own thing, and they've got their jobs, and, you know, we're not there to run their families anymore. We're not there to be over them anymore, because they're leaving and cleaving. So we just kind of, you know, we understand that principle. And I know I'm going to be 100 years old when my little one gets out of the house, it seems like, and because we just have so many. But when he's gone one day and it's just the two of us and his house is so quiet, we'll look around at each other. And if our life has been built centered around our kids, we'll look around one day going, what do we do now? But I do hope that when that time comes and it's quiet around the house, that I'll look at her and I'll say, come on, honey, let's go to the steakhouse and let's go have a steak. We don't have to eat McDonald's anymore, I don't guess. We can go have some seafood tonight if you want to. You know, I want you to stay, and I want you to give you that mindset. I want to make sure we stay together. We have fun together. So we want to never stop courting, and never, write number two down as well, never stop caring. Never stop caring for her. Now, when I was in little, like, Sunday school, Brother Dan, you grew up in church, right? I think as a boy, is that right? All right, so when I was in Sunday school, we learned a verse of Scripture. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:32, if I were to say Ephesians 4:32, some of you would know it right away. These kids would know it. Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another. Somebody started off there. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And we teach our kids, be kind, be kind, be kind. Brother Derek, have you ever told your kids be kind to each other? You never had that problem with yours? Be kind to each other, all right? Be kind. Be kind to your sister. Be kind to your brother. Be kind. Oh, we've had that many times. Be kind. Ty, did they ever tell you to be kind to your brother? Be kind. Be kind. All right, listen to me. That's part of what we do, all right? We tell our kids, be kind. All right. Well, now, Brother Andy, he's a big teddy bear is what he is. I can see this guy, big teddy bear, big teddy bear. Now, just because you're grown up, just because you've been married, how many years now? 16 years, and you've been through life and all this work and everything. We've been through life. That doesn't mean that I've somehow, because I've reached 55 or reached 50 or 45, that verse does not apply to me. Ephesians 4:32 applies to all of us, doesn't it? And be ye kind, what's the verse say? One to another. That means husbands, be kind to your wife. Wife, be kind to your husband. So sometimes if we're not careful, we will hurt the ones we love the most. And most of the time the hurt comes from the words we say. Sometimes we will say things to the one we're closest to that we would never, ever dream of saying to just a casual friend at church. We will say things to our wife that we would never, ever would we ever say that to the preacher's wife or to our pastor. We'd never say it to them, but we'd just cut and dig and dag and daggers thrown here and there with the people we love the most. So maybe this conference, a part of it is we have to kind of, I've got to go change. I've got to be kind. Oh, preacher, you're asking me to be kind to her? And you're asking me to be kind to him? And we've got to have some kindness at the house. And I've got to start holding his hand or giving him a kiss or cooking his meal. Whatever. You're asking me to be kind to him? I'm telling you what the Bible says. And be ye kind one to another. That's what the Word of God says. Thus, there's no exception just because you've been married forever. There's no exception just because we know each other so well. We still are commanded to be kind one to another. So my first point tonight, again, I'm just trying to put an application on everything we've been trying to teach you. Application is never stop. What did I write down? What did I write down? Never stop. Not that one. Never stop dating. Did you say dating? That's right. Never stop courting. Never stop carrying on. If you guys, whatever got you married, and we said, well, we were just so happy we were doing it. Just keep on. Number two, I said, never stop caring. Oh, yes. I like this one here. Now, some of you are going to be embarrassed, but you never stop caressing. You always hold, I love to hold my wife's hand. I love to give her a hug. I love her kisses. I don't ever want to stop it. Now, my dad, when I was growing up, he was a Christian dad and had a Christian mom. And that dad would want to go up to my mom in the living room or in the kitchen in front of me and my sister. And dad would want to walk. He'd walk up to her, and boy, he'd just give her a big old slobbery kiss right on the lips. And he'd just lock lips with her. He'd just keep holding on. And she said, "Louis," she pushed, "Louis, stop it." I just see her now. "Just stop it, Louis. Stop it, Louis. Don't do that in front of the kids." And I thank God I've got memories. And now I walk in the living room or in the kitchen, and I walk in there, and my wife's in there, and I'll sometimes reach over there and I'll hug her and I'll give her a kiss, and my kids go, "Ooh, that's so gross. That's so gross." I say, "Come here, honey, let's do it again." And I give her another kiss. You know why? Because I want my kids to see that. But whether I have kids at the house or not, I'm not doing it for the kids' sake. I enjoy it. And there's something to be said about holding a hand and giving a hug. And that's just signs of affection. That we really do love. We're affectionate toward the people that we love. And I know some of you grew up in homes where maybe we didn't show affection. And we didn't. We could talk about Scripture here. But I mean, there's a lot of Scripture. I believe it's Bible for us to be affectionate towards one another. And I think that's Bible. And I know you said, "My dad wasn't that way. My mom wasn't that way." Whatever, I've got some family who have grown up that wasn't part of their family. But whether it's a part of your family or not, you can make it a part of your family. All right. So number next here, never stop communicating. Never stop communicating. I mean, just always communicating. All right. When I was in college, my wife, she graduated a semester early. So in other words, she graduated in the fall semester. And I did not graduate until the following spring, okay? Now, I'm going to roll back. Remember, I think it was last night or Monday night, I was talking about how the phones used to have a cord on the phones. Remember this years ago? And then they moved up to the antenna phones. I'm not talking about cell phones. That was way before cell phones that they had. But in our dorm room at the college, there was a phone on the wall that had one of those curled up cords, okay? It had push buttons on it. Didn't have a digital screen. You couldn't just walk down the road and carry it with you. No, it was attached to the wall. Okay? I know some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you have no idea. But that's what we have. So on, whenever, and that was the day, by the way, and I've got to get to my story. That was the day before you could, when you called long distance, it cost you. Anybody remember those days? I mean, it cost you to call long distance. And we'd get our phone bill, and there would be a long distance charges. Okay? The younger generation has no idea. Now, they don't, I mean, to talk for hours, no charge. So that's what it was for us. Okay? But see, if you have any idea what I'm talking about, charging for long distance, stuff like that. Okay. All right. Oh, my word. Try to climb up a pole. Come on, bro. He had the old operator, all right? Old school. So we would talk, and I would get on the phone, and she was back home, and I was still at college, and my soul, it seemed like that college, that semester just drug on and on and on, but we'd get that night, it had to be a certain night. Now see, this generation we just call, we text, right away it's immediate. But we would plan for a Wednesday night after church, Sunday night after church, whenever this was, we would plan, I'll call you then. At this time, so I had to be in my room at that certain time. And I would grab that phone. And I didn't want my roommates to hear what I was talking about. Not that I was saying anything ugly or off color, but I'm just saying, you don't want to hear, your roommates don't hear you talking to your sweetheart. Those stinky boys in the room, you didn't want them to hear what. So I'd get my phone and I'd go out in the hallway. And I'd close that door just as far as that cord would stretch. And I'd sit there and I'd just talk. What did we talk about? I have no idea. How was your day? And it going for an hour. And it was costing her. And it was costing her to talk to me because she'd have to call me at the college. And it cost her. And she, whatever it cost. And after that 45 minutes, an hour was done, we'd have to hang up. But boy, those are sweet, sweet conversations. I have no idea what we said. I don't think I really cared. Other than to hear that South Georgia drawl coming from my sweetheart. Oh, that was so good. Now that's been 40 years ago. Almost. No, 30 years ago. 30 years ago. Almost. And today, every time I talk to her, never, very seldom, I should say not say never, that would not be true, but very seldom do I ever get off the phone that I don't say, I love you. And she says, I love you. We don't sit on the phone and talk for an hour because I get to see her every day and we spend time talking and communicating. But she hears, I love you every time we talk. Every time we go to bed, she hears, I love you. Every time I start to leave, honey, I love you. I'll see you a little bit. It's just the way life is. That's the way life should be for a child of God. You know, if we're going to demonstrate Christianity, we've got to start living out Christianity. And if it's not lived out in the home, it certainly will not be lived out in the community. It must start at the house. We need some strong marriages. We need some men who will live joyfully with the wife of their youth. Some ladies who will begin to try to encourage their husbands and not tear him down but build him up. We need some wives who will say, you know, I've got to be the one that helps him and tries to pray for him and tries to lift him up. We need some men who try to protect their wives and love on them and try to be the leaders, not being Lord, but being leaders over their lives and trying to lead them in the right direction. We need that. Oh, we need you. God wants it. The church needs it. Your community needs you. Your pastor needs you. He needs some strong homes, but more importantly, you need it. You need it. Because the devil's out to divide and to destroy. May God help us to keep it together. So I want to ask you tonight, I want to close in a little different way if I could. A little bit different. I don't want to embarrass you, but I want to close a different way. Would you stand with me just for a moment? I want to close the service a little bit different fashion tonight. And I certainly want to ask you, would you help me with this? I thought the way we'd close out this marriage conference, a conference on marriage, and I've asked you to start off on Monday night. We said, let's pray together. Let us pray together. I want to close out, not that we stop praying for one another, But I thought we would close out this conference out with a prayer with one another. In other words, we'll pray together. We'll just simply say, I want to pray with each other. Whether it be husband and wife or an individual or a family or however we can. I'd like to just ask you, those of you that can physically, like to, could, if you would just, in just a moment, make your way to the altar. Whether you can sit, stand, or kneel, it doesn't matter. And we can maybe just take just 30 or 45 seconds or a minute, and we'll pray with one another. And then I would like to have a closing prayer with you while you're here together. Just ask God to bless your home. Ask God to bless your family. Ask the Lord to bless you as a husband and as a wife and mom and dad, whatever, and just pray together. So that's what I want to ask you tonight. If we could just gather together as a church family and just pray together with our families. And you may be a single person here tonight, or your husband or wife may not be here tonight. But why don't we look at it this way? I want to pray together with my church family tonight. And this may not even be your church. That's okay. We'll pray for one another. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We'll pray together. So I want to ask you this. I'm going to have my wife come to the piano. And if any of you just say, I want to come and I want to pray with my spouse, with my family, and we'll pray together as a church family. Would you come at this time and we'll just take a moment just to pray together. And we'll just say, I want to pray, and we'll pray. And you don't have to kneel, but if you can, you can find it at this altar. You can pray together. You can stand, you can sit. If you want to pray there, pray here. Either, it doesn't matter. Just if you feel comfortable doing that. If you want to come together, you don't even have to have a husband or wife with you. If you just want to pray with your church family or pray for one another. Oh, that's a blessing. That's good. And if you'll pray for each other, then allow me to have a closing prayer with all of you together would be